Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Oh, well, hello, the internet, and welcome to another edition of The Daily Zeitgeist. Yes, it is season 77, episode 5, and you know what we do over here. We're taking a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and like we always do off top, say, fuck Coke Industries. It's Friday, April 12th, 2019. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Flyman Dallas Grage, a.k.a. The Truth Bader Ginsburg. And those come to us from at Crispy Meme Donut, Christy Yamaguchi, main in the building. And, you know, Jack right now is on assignment. He is doing, how do I put this? He's looking for the perfect sandal. So he didn't come in. He said he's trying a few out and couldn't come in. So I am very pleased and honored to be joined by my special guest co-host. You know her as one of the greats on Mount Zangor. You know her as actress, comedian, powerhouse, scam goddess herself, Lacey Mosley.
Hey, yo, it's your girl Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. scamming my brain with her zingers. Ooh. Scheming long plays with her words. Ooh. Killing me softly with her con. Killing me softly with her con. Selling my whole life for her words. Lacey Mosley, the goddess of con.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, check it, check it, check it.
Wow. Wow, I'm glad everybody had, we could not help ourselves and had to extend that out.
I honestly am just real glad I knew that song.
Yeah.
I am not cool, and the odds that you would pick a cool song I didn't know were very high, and I just have to politely clap.
Yeah,
I honestly that song I was
is
in just,
that song is too widespread for people not to know the power right. of that, the vocals of Lauryn Hill.
And shout out to Trite Gang for that one.
Oh.
Just TDZ AKA.
That's the first time an AKA has literally took us to a spontaneous karaoke sing-along. And that other voice you're hearing, buckle up, y'all, because it is another fan favorite. I mean, I don't know how else to put this. The human to Major Hot Lips Houlihan.
Definitely.
The great comedian. And just overall, just pleasure to be around. The wonderful Caitlin Gill.
It's Caitlin Gill, the roller skating granny you'd like to fuck. I got no song. There's not a standard I'm going to meet. Why would I try? Once the mic is dropped, you leave it on the ground.
Anyone who attempts to pick it up looks terrible.
Oh, I think I can. No, you cannot.
Yeah, you just have to sweep it up and just go off stage.
Yes.
Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my honor and pleasure.
Before we, you know, jump into your brain and find out a little bit more about you, let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. Pope Benedict, you know, the 91-year-old Nazi Pope, he had some hot takes on what the heck is going on with Catholicism. Spoiler alert, they're really dumb. Let's see, what else? Julian Assange has been arrested. I think we also have to speak about how long are we going to let conservatives endanger the lives of AOC and Ilhan Omar? It is just getting worse by the day. Also, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Aunt Becky, more updates from Operation Varsity Blues, everyone's favorite thing, and the new safe space for people who work for Trump in D.C. But first, Caitlin?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell us something from your search history that reveals a little bit more about who you are?
I did look up if a dog can eat cucumbers. Mm. Yes. A recent search. Yeah, I thought it was too close to a grape, which I learned you are not supposed to feed your dog as I was throwing one to my dog.
Oh,
and I
right.
now live in a constant state of paranoia that every treat I'm going to give my dog is deadly. So I do a lot of Googling before treat tossing,
which
I feel like is a level of paranoia revealed by my Google search. Google search bar.
Wait, so cucumbers are okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
That's okay. She didn't want to eat it, but I still gave it to her.
It was set off because you threw a grape. So I was like,
yeah, that was my girlfriend. I want to say she caught it out of the air, but I don't think that's true. It does make a better memory, though.
Yeah, or like you... like telekinesis.
Yes.
What's wrong with grapes?
I don't get it.
There's something in the skins, I think.
There's a lot in there. Tannins? I don't know.
Yeah. Don't dogs eat vomit?
Right. You'd think that dogs who literally are supposed to, like almost every other mammal, eat their own shit would have been more tolerant of grapes.
Right. I'll eat cat shit off the street, but don't get me near a grape.
I also grew up in Napa and like... that's the only kind of farm is vineyards, and there are dogs there. I was like, it'd just be littered with dog corpses if it was truly that. They're dogs. But maybe
maybe they've evolved being in
this
Napa.
Is also like our my dog. Like, this is, you know, a 12-pound floof that used to be a wolf. Like, we've ruined it genetically. I'm sure it's got a multitude of, like, intolerances and allergies that just come from us being like, oh, no, don't step in that.
Right.
I don't know
it's
what
like,
the...
oh, my dog has celiacs.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's a more interesting one.
Well, I think that shows you're a careful dog owner. And
I am
also
still looking up Roadhouse
wildly
facts.
Wildly paranoid.
Right. Which I think was probably high on my list.
You said Roadhouse facts?
Oh, yeah. I'm still thinking and talking about the movie Roadhouse almost every day.
With Patrick Swayze?
Yes. There's actually a blog. A man is writing an essay a day about Roadhouse, and it is perfect.
Wait, how do you get that much secondary content out of Roadhouse? I mean, put me on.
I mean, it's a thesis. Roadhouse is like a... I can't even... I mean, it's everything and nothing. It is the best, worst movie. It is it's perfect.
Yeah.
Nothing and everything happens. It's great.
Okay.
Patrick Swayze punches so many people.
Right. I remember seeing it.
Rents a barn, sleeps with a doctor. A lot of stuff happens.
Maybe I need to see it with adult eyes.
I would recommend that.
Because I think the last time I saw it was like when it was on HBO, like in the early 90s.
It's got one of the best villains. It's got a ridiculous plot. There are both excellent and terrifically bad performances to enjoy.
Oh, I love that.
Can't recommend Roadhouse highly enough. I'm glad I brought this up as well. Honestly, I thought this was a throwaway, but now it's an important, passionate recommendation that you go watch Roadhouse.
And who is this gentleman who is writing an essay a day on it?
I can't remember. I will look it up.
I'm sure if you look up Roadhouse
tweet it or before the end of the hour, I will look it up. But yeah, if you look up essays
about Roadhouse. You're going to find it. And it's hilarious. He deserves, I think it's a gentleman. This person deserves the highest of accolades. I should remember their
name.
And
the writing is like coherent and you're
it's
like,
excellent.
Wow, this
it's
is
good
actually...
analysis.
Okay.
Not only of the filmmaking, but of the plot and its structure.
Okay. So you're saying I should piece it together and make a Bible and start a
yes.
cult?
There you go.
It wouldn't be hard.
All I roads think... lead to Roadhouse?
Yes.
I feel like Dalton, the character that Patrick Swayze portrays so well in Roadhouse, he's like one piece that you need, but you also need like you need all of Patrick Swayze's characters. You need like mm-hmm. the charm of the Dirty Dancing guy and the heart because
okay.
that's a good man.
And then like the claymaker skills of Ghost.
Yes, you need a ghost. You need somebody powerful in the afterlife.
That's the Holy Ghost.
You need a bank robber because you need to bankroll this shit.
So we're creating a triune god around the roles of Patrick Swayze.
Yes,
right now.
I think he was trying to send us a message.
So who is the father? If
oh,
we're doing
okay.
the triune, the trinity of Patrick Swayze.
Okay, I think Dalton. Dalton is the father, the son is Dirty Dancing, okay. and then the ghost is Holy Ghost.
It's Holy Ghost.
Wow.
And then the devil is Bodhi. But isn't the devil just a fallen angel?
Right.
Isn't,
and Whoopi Goldberg is the angel of death.
Yeah. Ooh.
Wow. Okay, so you guys can work on your scam, Patrick Swayze religion, another
time. I got a 3-ring binder in the car. We'll hit the printer later.
Yes.
What do you think is something that's overrated?
Okay, these are related issues. Weapons are overrated. Tools are underrated. And they're always the same.
Ah.
This has been on my brain since reading an article about AI and getting very scared and then just falling into this own little brain hole where I was like, the debate we're having about what to do with our technology is the same debate we've been having since we picked up a rock. A rock mm-hmm. is the same as AI in the sense that, like, well, I can hit you in the head with it and take all your stuff, or together we can build better stuff. Like, the choices haven't changed. So it calmed me down in realizing that we will certainly fuck it up, as we have fucked up every tool that could also be used as a weapon. But we will also use it as a tool sometimes. It just calmed me down that, like, I thought it was like an either or I got caught up in this like sort of fear of like.
So not to take you there, but where did your mind play it out when you were like, oh, I don't know about this AI shit?
Oh, we're just so dumb and mean.
Right.
That, like, we're immediately going to start lying it with it and like conning people with it.
Oh, for sure.
And then you can, you know, certainly harm people either like physically or not with it or just their life. It's
yeah,
not
or
a
gaslight
good,
them with it, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
Then you started thinking, okay, but no.
But also, like, nanotechnology fixed. I don't even.
Right. But you just saw that, yeah, the possibilities, like anything,
yes.
to go in either direction will probably be pulled in both directions.
And we have been making that same choice forever since we were animals that pick stuff up. So it was calming in that, like, at least this is an unresolved question that we are aware that we are still.
So was
about.
It like because the lady robot started having feelings and you were like, oh, no.
The lady robot with feelings is a big deal. There's also two ladies who have I forget her name because I'm never going to remember her name. But one robotics genius lady programmed her wife into a robot. Bina is the name of the robot, I want to say. And this lady, they go and have conversations with her. They fill her with memories and she's just meant to live on past.
So is she planning on killing her wife?
I have so many questions.
I would be so disturbed if my man started making a robot of me while I'm still very much alive.
Exactly.
Like, that's too soon.
How long are you going to play the line of like, it's so I never have to lose you? It's like, yeah, but I'm right here.
I don't know. And then she gets, she buys a freezer all of a sudden. You know, like this could go real
it's not good.
I don't like that.
Oh, I don't like it.
Are you talking about Bina 48?
Yes.
Wow, who has variously been called a sentient robot.
Yeah.
Social robot, cybernetic companion.
It all freaks me out. But I feel like I would have been the cave person that saw someone pick up a rock and be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down with that. Right.
Or the wheel.
You're going to hit me in the head. Or I could build you a structure to live in. Yeah, but.
Like, imagine the people who were like anti-wheel.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. That's what I felt like. Am I mad at a printing press? Am I throwing a, what am I doing?
Oh, so you're a modern day Luddite, you think?
I worried that I was just sort of missing that this has been an ongoing debate forever and it shouldn't stop us from building tools because tools are cool. We just have to stop being shitheads.
Well, especially
with our
weapons. Like with automation and things too. It's like on one hand, the instant reaction would be like, okay, this could be taking all of our jobs. And another one could be like, could we shift an economy where people aren't just squeezed for time?
Yeah, why
to make
are you
things?
Taking my hands and body and back? Why
and
if a robot could do it?
Live?
Why can't I just live?
Yeah, well,
isn't that crazy? Ugh.
Well, shout out to Bina 48.
Yeah, Bina's pretty nuts.
Okay, and what is a myth? What's something that you see people getting wrong?
Oh, I told you. Hot button. Gender. Gender is a myth, and we all know that. I think that's a widely accepted, non-politically controversial fact.
Yes, okay.
I think nobody has a problem with that. But
the church might.
I had, whatever my own opinions on gender have always been, I'm a 6'1" giant lady mm-hmm. who from behind is a man you would cross the street to avoid. I'm just a large person.
Can't.
A lot of questions about gender that I've always tried to figure out. But I listened to Radiolab produced a 4-episode series called Gonads. And, you know, I'm wherever life, the origins of life came from, we sort of know that it's like germs, viruses, which aren't exactly from here, but arrived here when they crashed and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When the dinoid people came.
There's a great episode. The first one in this series to listen to does a far better job than I would even try to do. But there's like 40 cells that crawl out of a trash bag in your 3-week-old embryo, crawl all past your forming liver, heart, brains, lungs, all that shit, go to your gonadic ridge, which I guess your midsection is already established by then, and figure out if you're going to be male or female there, and then start work accordingly. Mm. Those are viral cells!
Right.
There's no, like, man or what? There's just a virus deciding which half should make baby-making equipment inside the womb and which half should make babying equipment outside the womb. Which makes sense because a bunch of us are going to die once we're outside the womb. Statistically, it's sort of valuable to have some material ready and some material waiting.
Interesting.
It was just like, I sort of knew, like, we're just kind of hosts for viruses. Like, I'd said that right. anecdotally or oh, as so a way to not explain my atheism or whatever. But then I listened to that series and it's really excellent. And it started, my jaw was slack for 40 minutes. It's like, I knew it!
Right, of just sort of the idea of even how we fit into a, you know, male or female or whatever.
Yeah,
a sex
whatever.
Is it, right?
Or why we're these meat sacks.
Right.
Why are we here? It just stands like, we're here to make more of us, but more particularly what makes more of us are this little string of 40 cells.
That's like, it's like you're going to be.
And the only reason mammals can have babies anyway because of a piece of viral DNA that just hangs out in our DNA that puts a sack around our babies inside. It's like a liquid egg virus that some mammal caught and it let them squirt out a baby that wasn't an eggless chick that didn't just die. And it made mammals. That's viruses. It just is a...
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
Just off your energy, I'm like, okay.
Right,
I'm
right.
downloading that.
I would highly recommend it. But yeah, if you've ever struggled to explain to anyone why your conviction that gender is an illusion...
Right.
If you need to bolster that argument, go ahead. That definitely blew my mind.
Well, yeah, because I think for the longest time, you just gloss over science. Like, yeah, and then something happens, and then, like,
there's this rad doctor in the podcast that delivered, like, 10,000 babies, and he was like, you know, I just wanted to figure out, like, everything's done once you're born, which is just such a crazy perspective.
It's already happened.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people who, like, are anti, like, you know, don't like the whole, like, non-binary movement and, you know, the fact that gender is a construct, which I believe. Like, I know they love having gender reveal parties.
Of course.
I want them to be able to still have a party, but maybe not necessarily around gender.
How about you're having a child?
Yeah.
No, but that's the baby shower, okay? We need to scam up one more party for them.
Well,
you know what I mean? The non-binary bash or what can
right,
we call
MBB?
It? What can we call it so people can keep getting that second round of gifts?
Yeah.
That's all they really want.
So for you,
you need
you
a party
see the scam.
A trimester.
Trimester parties?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just shift it to a calendar thing.
You can have three parties,
yeah,
right?
A party where you get all your, like, you know, your first trimester party where everybody gives you, like, Pepto-Bismol bags to throw up in, and then your second trimester party.
And they give
party.
You a little bit of wine because
yeah,
it's okay.
Exactly.
It's just okay. a little, you just get, take like, a few sips. And then when you get to your second trimester, they're like, bitch, put the wine down. Don't get out of wine no more. Then they give you the clothes.
Here's a pillow for you to sit on for your sore ass.
Oh, get that big U-shaped body pillow.
Yeah.
And then third trimester, you get hit with the here's all the
right.
good stuff.
Here's one of them Sonic ice chip makers, and, you know.
See,
yes.
this could be your calling.
Guys, listen, gender is a construct, but you can still have three
fucking
parties. And you can still have a baby shower on top of that. Have four fucking parties for
Go
your
for
baby.
It. Yeah. It is really hard to have a party that's like, our viral DNA carrier is hatching. Like, you can't really celebrate the scientific explanations as well. So yeah, get in, find your way, but party about it.
Yeah. Trimester parties, guys, that's the new wave. Millennials, get on it.
Moving on. I mean, because someone who I believe gender is not a construct for is the Catholic Church.
Yeah, they really like it.
Yeah.
They're quite fun.
Great segue. Thank you so much for setting that one up. But yes, Pope Benedict, if you remember him, the old Nazi Pope, I think he was about to be 92
years
old.
Yeah, I have him for brunch.
Yeah.
Get it? Because it's the sauce. I'm original.
Benedict.
What I do is come up with fresh stuff.
Fresh stuff. Check me out. So He wrote like a 6,000 word letter that was published recently. And
are most of the words like thee and doth and hear ye or
no,
whatever?
No, it's a lot of it about
that's
basically
how you pad a paper.
Exactly. The margins are
you
like
write in old timey English, triple space font.
Right, exactly. It's all calligraphy. As they put it, or the Washington Post description of it, laments the secularization of the West, decries the 60s sexual revolution, and describes seminaries that became filled during that period with, quote, homosexual cliques. It's just a very odd, I think, defense of what's happening in the church by blaming it on external forces is what that sounds like. So, for example, when talking about pedophilia, he wrote, the question of pedophilia did not become acute until the second half of the 1980s. And arose because of, quote, the absence of God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, not because you've created a structure to protect predatory priests.
No.
It's because the second half of the 80s were too lit, I guess. Is
God
the,
had
specifically
out.
Yeah.
The second half of the... Like, is the Catholic Church just 20 years late to every cultural fad? Right, the sexual revolution was kind of over. They were big into Coke then.
Right.
Is that happening, like, now in the Catholic Church?
Essentially.
Is everybody in the Catholic Church wearing JNCOs and doing a bunch of Molly at raves?
I think so.
The other thing is, among the freedoms that the revolution of 1968 sought to fight for was this all-out sexual freedom, one which no longer conceded any norms. And part of the physiognomy of the revolution of 68 was that pedophilia was then also diagnosed as allowed and appropriate.
By what?
By who?
Who
said that?
I feel like the Catholic Church.
Y'all were doing that, but
explicit.
Nobody has said that. It's almost as if the Catholic Church is trying to blame society for its own transgressions. Like, no. Y'all had said it was cool. Remember? And then we did it, but then everybody was like, it's not cool no more.
Apparently, a lot of this has to do with the Second Vatican Council's like reforms on like Catholic theology that he's saying like that led to a breakdown in traditional priesthood culture. And that's when the homosexual cliques started popping up in seminaries.
Definitely not documented back centuries and centuries and centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like into the earliest writings of the Catholic Church, into like dusty, broken pieces of paper that are like, we shuffled a priest for touching a boy, mm-hmm. like in whatever Aramaic would have been spoken at the time.
Yeah.
I'm clearly not the authority on such things, but I've read the articles. It's so frustrating. My mom and my stepmom are both pastors. Loaded sentence.
Oh,
wow.
But it's so frustrating how perverted the Catholic Church has made that profession in just every way. Mm-hmm. It's just...
You mean of being a person of the cloth?
Yeah. Mm. The dishonor with which they have conducted themselves for literally centuries on every topic, but that's more my philosophical disagreement.
Right.
On this one, though, guys.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't like how they're lumping in homosexuality and pedophilia.
That's their favorite game.
Well, that's the strategy. I think all conservative religions, especially conservative Christianity or Catholicism, is all about these sort of shitty myths that are like, oh, gay people are predatory pedophiles, or gay people are unable to have families that are stable.
Yeah,
and
which so many cisgendered heterosexual men are, you know,
right,
assaulting children.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, this is so unfounded.
Which is interesting because there was I think the New Republic or Mother Jones was writing about why Pete Buttigieg is actually such a direct threat to that sort of rhetoric, because him as a devout Episcopalian is sort of taking these things up front and you're saying, oh, you know, they love to love the sinner but hate the sin,
mm-hmm.
Sort of idea. Like, everything he stands for is sort of, you know, anathema to people who are just sort of like, oh, you know, for what their definition of a gay man is or a gay person is. He's sort of blowing that up and I was saying, like, not only am I a Christian and devout, he's like, but also if we're actually taking the words of our scripture to heart, you would have to have a problem with God before me, because I did not choose to be like this.
Right.
This is how I was created.
It's like the church is sort of playing this game like with drugs, the category one drugs, heroin and cannabis are in mm-hmm. the same category,
right.
So it's trying to convince people that it's the same. Like, yeah, being gay is some kind of blasphemy, just like pedophilia. Like, honey, no.
No.
He's just relaxing in his cave somewhere. So, you know.
I don't know why I hedge about it. I know people who've been touched wrong within my own family. Like,
sure.
Assaulter and assaulted. I feel like I mean, if I'm in a room with two other people, you don't have to disclose nothing, but I am sure we all know people who've been affected by, if not Catholic, this.
Right.
It's just crazy that this is, I don't know, God's not real. Don't let anybody tell you that you need to protect a church. Like, it's not,
but
you can't,
know,
it's not
I think, but it's also good for people, like, you know, that have spirituality or have a religion and can actually see the humanity of it and use that to actually be a good person and an accepting person.
I didn't mean to go there, but as soon as we started talking about the Catholic Church, it was like, what? It's what is?
Well, right, but the pendulum can swing either way. You know, you have people who want to look at whatever the religious texts say to rationalize their own hatred of people, and there are the people who actually take it and see a message of like, oh, I think this is about spreading love, acceptance, supporting people, and uplifting people. Just depends on how you feel on the inside.
Tools and weapons.
Yes, exactly.
Tools and weapons.
Mm-hmm. Full circle. All right, well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. Julian Assange, Mr. WikiLeaks, on Thursday was hauled into custody by the police as the Ecuadorian embassy. Basically, they set some rules for him. They said, don't break these rules. Otherwise, we can't house you here anymore, because they were keeping him safe from extradition because he did not want to be taken to the United States, etc. And apparently everything came to a head. Most recently, WikiLeaks had leaked personal information about the president of Ecuador and intercepted phone calls and private conversations. So that may have put a bit of a little bit of a stink on that relationship. So in the UK, you know, they have him on charges of skipping bail while he was trying to avoid rape charges in Sweden. And then he was also taken into custody over charges that were filed in the U.S. that they want him extradited on for his participation that alleges that Assange helped former Army private Chelsea Manning to crack the password to a computer system at the Department of Defense to download classified information and distribute that. The charges are very narrow. They're not disputing the legality of the leaking of these documents. They're very specific to say that it is a conspiracy or an agreement where he was encouraging the hacking of these computers. When I first saw the thing, I was like, okay, this doesn't quite add up for me. Right. The Obama administration was clearly just sort of like, they were ignoring him, essentially. And the initial leaks did really bring to light a lot of very disturbing things that were going on in the intelligence community in this country. And then it sort of over the years evolved into this very odd selective leaking thing that was meant to just sort of damage specific groups and not others. And it sort of lost its what we thought was its sort of ethos. And now he's sort of using this defense of that he's a journalist or whatever, and this is a suppression of his First Amendment rights as a journalist or whatever, or trying to frame this as a violation of journalism. You know, I think that's where the DOJ was trying to be very clear about making this about hacking. We'll see where this goes. You know, oddly enough, none of the charges have anything to do with WikiLeaks' involvement in the election, the presidential election. I think a lot of people are trying to understand, are we still trying to come at him for the WikiLeaks things that the previous administration had sort of clearly just glossed over? Or is this, you know, other people, I think, on the far left are trying to think of some conspiratorial thing of like, get him over here because who knows what he's going to say about what happened with WikiLeaks' relationship with Russia.
Right.
And I mean, because WikiLeaks is essentially a front for Russian intelligence now. A very interesting proposition, but I think a lot of people are also kind of a little bit skeptical to see like how these charges shake out, because the very cynical reading could be like these sort of slow steps into suppressing actual journalism.
Right.
Not to say that what he was doing before is that, but it's a slippery slope. So, yes.
Yeah. It's like, what are people's interests behind the extradition?
Yeah, but again,
to keep him quiet, or is it?
This could take a while though for him to be extradited, because he can appeal to the government of the UK to say this is why I shouldn't be extradited. So this could take a moment. It's not quick, but
did you know of Pamela Anderson's involvement in all of this?
I heard that she was like, "This is bullshit," because you're just trying to distract from Brexit.
She's like visited Assange in the assembly, and she's like going off on Twitter about this, and I was just like, Pam. Why are you so involved? I'm just confused. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on like that where I'm like, what's Alyssa Milano? Stop tweeting, girl.
Get back on
TV, baby girl, because every other week you got us having to drag you by your hair now. I know mistresses got canceled, but I'm going to need you to get back to work, sweetheart. Same for you, Pam. I know you ain't running on the beach no more in these red swimsuits, but what is this about?
I mean, I wonder where her politics are. I mean, because she was saying something like, oh, the UK is now the United States bitch or something like
that. Yeah, so she says, I'm in shock. I couldn't hear him clearly. What he said, he looks very bad. How could you, Ecuador? Because he exposed you? How could you, .UK? Of course, you are America's bitch, and you need a diversion from your idiotic Brexit bullshit. Y'all, if you get your news from Pam Anderson, I just...
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's where you're reading about your Assange updates, I'd consider diversifying sources.
Yeah.
This is not a normal...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are very excited that he has been... taken into custody, because they're curious about, you know, what information he actually has in terms of like Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi, since they were the ones talking to WikiLeaks and things like that, or, you know.
And somehow they think that information is going to get out.
It's so weird. Yeah, like if this was somebody who was going to help a cause, he'd be helping it. Like if this was somebody with an agenda beyond like sort of manipulating information
right
and power to get attention or to get... I can't tell what his agenda is other than like neener.
Right. It doesn't seem that positive.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
Yeah, I think...
Really boring supervillain. Again, exceptionally white. We can't even do interesting crimes with. Sure. Like, come up with a badass name. WikiLeaks is so just terrible branding.
Well, they had Wikipedia and they said
let's not past that. Let's not hire a creative consultant.
Right. I think, you know, a lot of people who champion Julian Assange, too, who say, like, you know, they want to make it a crime to expose the crimes of governments, essentially, sort of like that. And I get that aspect, too. But there's also, like, there's an insincerity about the where WikiLeaks is coming from, because when you have people like Reality Winner or Chelsea Manning who have, like, whistleblown and put out information that has been disturbing and has caused slight progress in terms of, you know, the surveillance state and things like that, WikiLeaks isn't necessarily, like, helping them out either.
No. Right.
So it's like, what is this thing really? And I think that's why it's just such a slippery topic.
Is it just like a Facebook for hackers? Like, you just post your stuff here. We won't help you, though.
Yeah, or it's just, you know, it's just very selective about who they want to go after. It's like, you don't see much about China or Iran or Russia or these other things. It's
because
it's
they would
it's being
kill
weaponized
him.
In the other way.
Because right. Yeah, because yeah. He does, I mean, the one assumption is that he does have that information, which is an incredibly dangerous commodity to hold. Mm-hmm. Because there's no reason to keep you alive unless you become a tool. Like, there's just no...
Or a weapon.
Right. Like, there's not a reason...
that thread.
Why
thread.
Are you letting this... You know, if you're any country that Assange has information that he could leak on, why would you just leave him hanging out in an ugly beard? You don't have a reason to, unless you make a reason to. To Mean Girls, I don't know. You know what I'm saying. I don't have to run a Becky analogy, but you get what I'm saying. There's just not a reason unless there's a bad one.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and a lot of people were curious as to what was going on, and I think that's sort of revealing why Chelsea Manning was jailed, was because they were asking things specifically about WikiLeaks. She was very clear to say, I've already been forthright about everything. I don't see the need to do this in a grand jury setting, which tends to favor the government. Right. No.
Yeah.
And then
if I just been watching too many spy shows, it seems like just there's a value in what you know. And if mm-hmm. you wind up, if you hold that much information and you still wind up in prison, you didn't have the right information to barter or bargain with to keep yourself safer than that,
right. Sure.
Which is terrifically unfortunate. Or you had a higher moral code where you weren't willing to do that. Yeah, Assange seems like the type to keep secrets and to use them against other people and to... And a person in that position can have secrets used against him.
So what you're saying is that he kept his secrets better than Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, and he has more valuable secrets.
Oh, man.
Not that I know. I don't care. No, I can only just... I like by three quarters of any article about him, I'm just like, you suck, dude. I'm like throwing cans at my phone. Boo, tomatoes, boo.
Is that why your screen's all cracked up?
Yes.
Well, let's move on to people that do have a very high moral code. Conservatives and the GOP. Because I'm just in the last week, there's just nonstop incitement of the base that is only going to bring us closer to violence. In terms of like the violent threats that are made against certain people in Congress, especially the new kids on the block, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar. Now, recently, the right just made a fucking meal out of some remarks that Ilhan Omar made at the Council on American Islamic Relations at a banquet recently. The quote that they very narrowly took was, CAIR, CARE, was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties. That very narrow quote was then taken to mean that she was saying that this thing was created after 9/11 to protect people because Muslims are terror. It was very hard to understand what they were trying to get at. Some people were just saying, oh, she's reducing 9/11 to, quote, some people did something.
Right.
And starting to downplay terrorism and things like that. Her spokesperson said she misspoke about the 9/11 thing because the organization, CAIR, CARE, it was founded in 94, not after September 11th. They're saying she misspoke to refer to the fact that the organization had doubled in size after September 11th. That is because they are an aggressive Muslim civil liberties organization that is not about letting the government or people trample on the basic rights of you're just Americans who happen to be Muslim. Now, this just went totally off the rails because now the New York Post, one of their covers on Thursday was just full page, like 9/11, like the second tower being hit, fireball photo. And it said, Rep Ilhan Omar, 9/11 was, quote, some people did something. And then they have the photo that says, here's your something, 2,977 people dead by terrorism. It's a very, very insincere argument against something that she was saying, because when you actually take in context, what she was actually saying was it wasn't about 9/11. She goes on, she was making a speech just about how for to be a Muslim in America, you're constantly being questioned about your allegiance, how to come off as less threatening and things like this. And she said, here's the truth. This is what was preceding this snippet. Here's the truth. For far too long, we have lived with the discomfort of being second-class citizen. And frankly, I'm tired of it. And every single Muslim in this country should be tired of it. CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties. So you can't just say that today someone is looking at me strange and that I'm trying to make myself look pleasant. You have to say that this person is looking at me strange. I am not comfortable with it. And I'm going to talk to them and ask them why, because that is the right you have. Mm-hmm. Essentially just trying to shed a light on the Islamophobia in this country, right?
Yeah, right.
And then it is only met with more increased Islamophobia. And not to mention, then on Fox and Friends, they were questioning her allegiance, even as an American, just saying, I mean, who knows if she's actually an American? Again, these are very, very dangerous things these people are saying, because just over the weekend, a man from New York was arrested for making death threats against her.
Right. My question here, too, is like, I'm looking at this New York Post article, which if you haven't seen it, it's the cover of the New York Post, and it's a picture of, yeah, the Twin Towers, the second Twin Tower going down, right? And it says, here's your something, 2,977 people dead by terrorism. Is the New York Post just putting out subtweet memes now as, yeah, like, news covers?
Well, they're just the most conservative, you know, outlet out there in New York, so they love to, you know, do, like, sort of Inquirer-adjacent.
This is wild. Yeah, I was about to say, that's what this looks like. It looks so aggressive. Michael Jackson Love Child comes back from the dead. Well, right. Like, it looks like
or just
a
trying
very
to put,
ratchet.
Just putting her name next to 9/11 is just
so irresponsible.
Yeah, and it's
and we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing again. So with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the college Republicans in Ohio sent out a letter with the subject, AOC is a domestic terrorist. And in this, like, there's a donation, a fundraising email that said, donating to the College Republicans is the most effective way to directly impact the future of America. My peers are being brainwashed on a daily basis by Marxist professors who hate America and capitalism. My fellow students often tell me that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a, quote, role model, and that America should be more like socialist Europe. We need your help to stop the brainwashing.
So then they want money.
Of course.
Y'all, this is probably the hottest scam out. I need to get on this. I'm going to start emailing people and telling them I'm a Republican and they need to send me money.
Well, yeah. Well, that would make you Candace Owens.
Yeah.
She ain't getting enough money. Have you seen her hair?
Yeah. Well,
that's poor woman hair, okay? Well, those broke bitch edges, okay?
There's no one there to tell her.
No.
There's no one in her circle
that
to be like, hey, I have a recommendation.
You.
I go to this lady. There's no one
hair
else.
Hair and eyebrows. That if nobody tells you, and then for men, it's like shoes and pants. You know what I mean? You see somebody
boot
going
to cut jeans with their sneakers.
Ooh, mm-mm. Child. Yeah, some old New Bounces. It's like nobody loves you. We know nobody loves you. That's your
declaration. Or somebody has loved you very much for a long time, and it's just like, yeah, all right.
And they fucking somebody else. You getting cheated on if you wearing them kind of clothes. Look down right now. Look down, guys. If you have that on, you getting cheated on. I'm telling you right now.
Where can they Venmo you for advice? Send a photo of your shit.
Yes, send me a photo of your outfit, and I'm gonna tell you if you're loved.
Okay, good.
Oh, I forgot.
I mean, sort of back to this whole idea. The thing that is just really disturbing is, like, I guess the game plan is for conservatives is just to keep pushing their base to the point to dehumanize these people and vilify them to the point that their solution is to cross their fingers and hope that somebody takes some kind of violent action against
them. It's such coded racism and xenophobia, and it's really disgusting.
Well, it ain't coded when your subject headline is AOC is a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, that's not coded. And also, this, I would argue the Omar New York Post article is not coded either, because it's literally 9/11 and her name. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's also this intense jealousy of these women and their platforms, mm-hmm, and their influence. The Young Republicans email even says, like, so many people on my campus are influenced by AOC. It's that deep jealousy of the fact that people would rather listen to rhetoric that supports helping one another and not continuing to let most of our country hang out to dry and die. And then they're asking for money.
Well, that's the thing. It's also just a tactic for media outlets and fundraising is like, hey, put up a clip or article about either of these people, it's going to get traffic. or use this to fundraise off right. of because it's they've just become these
clickbait.
Yeah, they're clickbait and they're just a source of income because the outrage that it causes people to hear outspoken women of color.
Yes.
And one woman who happens to be Muslim is just like just anathema to these people.
It's creating a problem that isn't real, that college kids are hate America and every professor right. is. No, you're just being challenged by critical thinking for the first right. time in your isolated little life and you're responding to it poorly. And that's.
But that poor reaction is actually going to have a knock-on effect that, whether consciously or unconsciously, is not going to end up well.
Oh, yeah.
We
have this bizarro journalism world now, too, where, like, the New York Post will be like, can you believe someone called Rep. Steve King racist,
right.
even though he said these exceptionally racist things?
Right.
What an outlandish, what a cruel slander against this man. Mm-hmm. Who would dare call him something awful like a racist? And then take a pull quote out of context in a speech and be like, terrorist
right.
on the cover. Show the towers blowing up.
Right.
Like,
I've also just never understood white people's preoccupation with the word racist and racism. Nobody wants to be a racist, but they want to do lots of racist shit. And I don't
yes.
get it. Because, like, if someone calls me the N-word, like, I know why I'm upset about that. Because there's, you know, the N-word literally means, like, stupid and
right.
all these negative things. And it's rooted in the enslavement of my people. But I don't understand why white people are so offended by being called a racist if they do racist shit.
They
like,
legitimately.
I don't get. Why don't you want to be called a racist? If you are a part of racism,
because deeply they know that it is wrong. So to have that happen, it activates something to be like, I don't want to accept that I'm actually engaging in something that there's no defense for.
It's such an important part of what modern racism is the definition of racism is like, you know, hitting someone with your car, hanging them in your street, celebrating that. It's like. This series of actually violent, like, that's racist.
That's, yeah.
Me
that,
believing
the mental, right.
that somebody doesn't deserve to go to my, or the only thing they're good for is rap and blah, blah, blah.
Right,
like,
right.
you hear, you know, viral
yeah.
videos of high school kids spouting off. They legitimately do not think that's racism. They think racism is this thing
is
they
violence.
Saw in fourth grade history books, because that's the last time we want them to talk about it, where they saw a picture
and
of
they don't
strange
even
fruit,
it.
And
yeah.
they just think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's something we're done with. Nothing we're doing.
That the attitude and the things that we say don't create the culture that makes that, which
yes.
it does.
You're just rebranding. You're just, it's a new ad for the
yeah.
same product. But yeah, using the power of turning racist into a slur is so crazy. I mean, almost hats off. It's
that's
a brilliant
what it
move.
Feels like. It feels like the
it's
R
supposed
word
to be considered a slur.
Now,
yes,
is a
that's
slur.
What they want you to.
Well, it's all, but you have to victimize yourself to be able to. To
exactly.
try and cultivate some kind of defense or to get people to be more resolute in defending it is by, you know, circling your wagons and acting as if, oh, we are actually on the receiving end of some kind of transgression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice try. So moving on, I just wanted to flag this because the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who, you know, if you recall, his racist dog whistling got him into the governor's mansion over Andrew Gillum
yes.
In Florida.
Yep.
He's kind of sort of. Taking environmental shit seriously in Florida?
Considering that Miami might be underwater.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, as a congressperson, he voted against the environment mm-hmm. 98% of the time. Okay, but if you look, his latest budget suggested $91.3 billion, called for $625 million for Everglades restoration and clean water projects. Which
provided by ExxonMobil.
Which is also including support of the Blue-Green Algae Task Force, which is another issue out there in Florida, and which will put his administration on track to meet the promised $2.5 billion over 4 years for this problem. So, okay, people weren't quite expecting that based on his track record. And then even further, a recent executive order, he put that the Department of Environmental Protection to, quote, adamantly oppose offshore drilling and fracking in Florida, a blue-green algae task force to reduce, quote, the adverse impacts of blue-green algae blooms over the next 5 years, two new government offices, one for environmental accountability and transparency, the other two for, quote, resilience and coastal protection, and a chief science officer, like an actual scientist who is out here using words like climate change, to coordinate and prioritize data and research to ensure alignment with current and emerging environmental concerns most pressing to Floridians. Now, he was very clever and never used the words climate change in
sure.
any of this. But all of these things are amounting to environmental action on it,
mm-hmm.
which had me sort of like, what?
So my man's went from Dr. Evil to Captain Planet?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the little bit of skepticism is healthy considering his track record, but at the same time...
She's the payroll up. I mean, Captain Planet and Dr. Evil are paid by the same people sometimes.
Right.
You know, it's especially in Florida, you could see how we're at a tipping point for where you'd have to protect assets and profitability for large-scale projects by getting rid of blue algae.
Right.
It's incentive.
Or addressing sea level rise.
Yes.
And that's another thing. Like, the people that have been appointed these positions are like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess credit where it's due.
I mean, people care about things that there's a vested interest in. So obviously,
right. I mean, yeah,
now.
we can question the motives of how he arrived to this point or whatever. But at the very, like, shit,
this has always bummed me out as a person who's rained on the faith parade this morning. Again, I honor your faith and I think it's awesome. I just have a different thing going. I would never dishonor yours by saying I did. I think it's always blown my mind that environmentalism wasn't a religious, any religious group active in politics, and why conservatives wouldn't pick this up as like such an important issue. Like conservation, it's, you know, there's a reason the root words are the same. Just keeping these assets protected for the nation, keeping
for the future generations.
Yeah, exactly. Like making sure these assets remain profitable. If you're a huge capitalist, it's, you know, making sure that the companies that you so believe in can still use them and grow.
Right.
Making sure that you're, if you're super, super Christian, making sure that you have room for all your quiver of arrow children. You know, what I've never got why this wasn't an issue that brought a lot of passion from the specifically religious right. Or for the right in general. And it's kind of a bummer because this is so in line with the political philosophy that's supposed to be at the root of conservative thought. Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, I guess some theories about pushback on the environmentalism or regulations is precisely that's the regulatory aspect of it, where, you know, there are regulations that some people saw, oh, well, this is bullshit. And then people put their guards up to protecting the environment as a function of something that was going to hurt the free market.
That's just being mad at the person who's called out the stinky fart. Like, you don't get to kill the messenger on that one. The fact that the EPA had to come out and say, like, oh, shit, this is like a Superfund site. Oh,
yeah.
God, this is going to take $1 billion to clean.
$1 million?
No, I said billion with a B.
Oh, fuck.
It's definitely, and it's a law. We're going to have to make it a law because you just made half a state a pig slough.
Right.
Like, it's not, you can't, those were the stakes.
Right. Well, and now it's unfortunately we're in a place where we have to put a price tag on the apocalypse for businesses to be like, oh, I don't want to pay that.
Not if you think Jesus is coming in your lifetime.
Right.
Oh, they're so excited.
Hey, but they're...
Listen, the last thing I'm not recycling is these clothes when I get raptured. These clothes going to be right there on the street when Jesus take me.
It would be funny. That would be a funny time to be wrong. Just hanging out in a room and one person gets lifted up in a shaft of light as fire creeps in from all sides. Just like, you got me. I honestly think that sounded nuts, but here we are, right?
Paper straw.
Lake of fire. I'm out of here. All right.
Guess I do reap what I sow, huh? All right, then. Peace out. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. And for people who are really into Operation Varsity Blues like I am, just a quick bit of information that came out earlier this week. So Lori Loughlin, we spoke about how the plea, even people who took a plea deal in this this pay for play for my child to get into college scheme, she was looking at least 2 years even with a plea deal.
Yeah.
Apparently, the reporting is that she thought the prosecutors were bluffing and was like, no, I'm not going to, has been completely in denial about going to jail. Because of this attitude, she is looking at it like her exposure now, she could do up to 20 years in prison. Now, and so could her husband, Massimo.
Massimo of Target.
Yeah. I just wanted to get that out there. And apparently, according to People Magazine, she was just so obsessed with the status of getting her children to USC. Shout out to UCLA. It says, quote, Lori is used to getting what she wants. This is why she got in trouble in the first place. She got fixated on getting her girls into USC. For her, there was no other way. They needed to be at USC. It was very important for her to be able to say that her girls were at USC. It was absolutely a status thing. And the fact that she wanted the girls to have things that she never had growing up. I mean, again, there's always the twisted elements of, you know, trying to give your kids something you didn't have.
You didn't do it when they were kids. You had $500,000 to send them to fucking writing camp and space camp and music camp and have a tutor live in your fucking pool house. You had the money to make good kids. You made an influencer. Go down in flames.
Yeah. Which is fine. She could have been an influencer.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
When
she didn't even want to go to school.
As long as you were proud
of
your influencer.
Be like Kris Jenner and let your kids do whatever the fuck they want and make a coin off of it.
There you go.
You don't have... And I feel so... I don't want Aunt Becky to go to jail. I know I should want her to not pass go.
And I've been bringing this up whenever we talk about it because, you know, from a criminal justice reform viewpoint, jail is the answer for too many things. And there is a way, you know, for in just the main spirit of criminal justice reform, you want to make the prison system smaller, more forgiving, and more...
Like, why can't she pay an insane amount of money and do an insane amount of community service to, like, underprivileged children and kids in areas where tax dollars can't afford them the opportunity to
start spending money?
But we're balancing that with seeing so many people, especially people of color, get locked up for... ain't shit type stuff.
Right, and changing your address so that your kid can go to a better school.
There are people in jail for that. It breaks my heart.
12 years. 12
years.
Yeah,
it's fucking insane.
And so we get this bloodlust for people like Aunt Becky because we're like, yeah, haha.
It is that. I am dehumanizing her. This is like the Fyre Festival where I love this suffering. But it is also like porn where I don't really want to watch step-siblings fuck. Like, I don't want Aunt Becky to go to jail. Right. Like that. I don't want any human to suffer. And there's a lot more complex elements to this story. But I want to rub one out to her fucking thinking the DA was just fucking bluffing. Are you kidding? I haven't come that hard since those kids had to eat shitty sandwiches.
Aunt Becky is a beautiful white woman in America. I understand why she thought they were bluffing. She said, excuse me, I am a rich white woman. I know y'all are not trying to send me to jail. I met Aunt Becky actually a little bit before this happened. I was having lunch with my lawyers, and one of my lawyers has this really big dog, and she stopped and like started playing with the dog and shit, and it just started kikiing with us, and then, the bitch skin looked good, y'all, okay? She was sleeping well. She wasn't worried about none of this shit coming out, because when I tell you that whole moisturize, anyway, but like, she was just a carefree white woman, and so I do feel a little bad that they're probably going to try to chuck the book at her, especially now that she thought that they were bluffing.
Well, she tried to cheat other rich white people. Yeah. Like, that spot at USC wasn't reserved for,
For someone struggling.
The poster kid of USC that's like, look, we let one in. That spot was going to some other rich kid.
She should have donated to a building. I guess it's cheaper to scam it the way she did than it would have been to donate money to the school, because you have to donate bread to the school.
Yeah, like millions.
Millions.
You know?
Yeah. Yale could use an international airport.
Because it doesn't cost $500,000 to go to USC for 4 years, but that's a steal if your other option is to donate a building.
Yeah. Right. How about this, make it easier for everybody to go to college.
There you go.
Just in general.
As a former CSSA representative, I can say yes.
Yeah,
the rising cost of tuition is devastating.
It's just too much of a barrier to entry for regular people. And then again, now it's become, like, to even this quote about Lori Loughlin, a status thing.
Yeah.
It's not even about the education anymore.
No.
Because our system's become so perverted where we're just like, oh, yeah, what school did you go to? Other things.
You know what's crazy, though? I look into that, especially now because I'm on dating apps a lot. And if you go to a really prestigious school, I know what those schools cost. And if you don't have a career that is going to generate enough income
you
to pay it back.
What's your bill look like?
Right. I'm sorry. You told me you went to NYU and I don't know. You got a degree in like something you made up, which is a thing. People can make up their own degrees now. Like, unless you're raking in the dough with that, I ain't about to talk to your ass. You got too much debt.
Yeah, you're the plus. You're the fucking scam goddess, man. You're trying to look for the right ones.
Although that's a sucker. So don't forget you found a mark.
Oh. Yeah, but a mark that's in debt. You need a mark that's got coin.
I don't know. Convince him you're paying his debt. And I don't know. There's some way.
I consolidate all his loans and he pays me.
Yes.
I like this predatory dating podcast. I'm like, nah, that's a mark right there. Well, let's
I'm
move
in
on
the
to-
most boring relationship. I mean, I love it. It's the best. It's perfect. But I would love to watch somebody succeed in a game I could never play.
Right. Well, I would like to move on to another group of people who are kind of unfuckable based off dating apps. Mm. And just in general, it's the staffers and people in the Trump orbit in Washington, D.C. Now, we always talk about, you know, there's always apps and shit coming out for these awful people to try and find each other to further bury their head in the sands of the reason why society has ostracized them.
Nobody wants to touch their
part. So Politico, they went deep. The name of the article is Inside the Semi-Secret Society for Young Trump Staffers. For members of the team, quote unquote, the 45 Club offers refuge in a hostile capital. So the 45 Club is a secret club where they don't have the location known to anyone. I mean, obviously from the people who go there, where Trumpers can just hang out and they have their own safe space. Because everywhere else has left them pretty much out in the dark. So they say in this article, quote, in this political climate, there's a lot of people who would not have pure intentions of coming to network, which is why they have it secretive. They may be trying to infiltrate. Now, they describe the club as an informal gathering that provides solidarity and networking opportunities in a hostile Washington. It's open to what it calls, quote, the team. Trump administration appointees, as well as alumni of the campaign, transition and inaugural committee.
Since members, the list of people who have quit is longer than the list of people who still work
right,
there.
Right, right, and still need a place to hang out. Members wear a lapel pin fashioned after the butt end of a .45 caliber bullet casing and attend semi-regular gatherings that often feature remarks by better-known Trump world figures such as Brad Parscale, Corey Lewandowski, and the Mooch. It was also started by Rick Gates' brother.
The Pariah Party.
Yeah. And they're very clear throughout this article to basically make it, they just want it to be known, we started the club because we're rejecting everyone else.
Yeah,
not because we're the ones being rejected. Literally, one of them says,
When you've kept the Washington Illuminati at a distance, I think you're more likely to form groups of your own, explained one club member. I'm sorry, kept the Washington Illuminati at our, you've already lost with how you're describing the rest of the Hill.
Right.
Or just the Capitol. They said they're trying to create an exclusive club because they've been banned from every other exclusive club in D.C. Now, one of the reasons why this is because Trump's outsider status is different than like how when other administrations come in, they're already kind of familiar with the town. This was like he just came through with all the it was just amateur hour.
He owns hotels. It's not like he's never been there.
Right. But
he's just fucking Trump, so he doesn't remember ever being there.
But also just doesn't have the same
political connections. Or why it's called Washington.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same network.
Well, so in the article they say, so for Obama's young staffers, they were the toast of Washington. And even George W. Bush came into town with a clubby, multi-generational political network that was heavy on the GOP establishment. Mm-hmm. But in a reflection of his outsider campaign, Trump's hires often come from outside the traditional feeding grounds of Republican politics. And in a city that has largely shunned them, dating app profiles here often declare an unwillingness to meet Trump supporters, let alone his aides. Trump's young aides have formed an insular social scene.
It's oh, just, man.
I mean, how much more do they, like, you know, mental gymnastics do they have to do by being like, nah, man, everybody else is fucked up before they're like, huh, are we doing something that other people don't like? No, that's not it. We're keeping the Washington Illuminati rejecting them.
I'm going to wear my bullet pin, and then everyone will know that I can have fun in my own space.
I can, vape in private while Scaramucci yells at me.
Like a secret society, I would think that they would be like probably in like a private, kind of sexy, closed door, no window,
it's
D.C.
a fucking Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, I think they're at fucking Arby's, my guy. Like, because listen, if nobody's telling, Arby's is in business, and nobody claims to eat there. So. You know what I mean? They got the meats. And
I eat at Arby's.
Wow.
Yeah. Give me two beef and cheddars
combo. Oh, wow.
It's weird. I only do it on road trips and Her
Majesty,
my partner.
Yeah, when you're not
partner,
in the city where someone
never
could see you.
No, I eat that shit with my chest
you
out.
You go on to L.A. Arby's?
There is one by me in North Hollywood. It doesn't have a drive-thru, though.
Of course it doesn't, because that's where the Trump supporters are meeting.
Okay? I mean,
I'm
right
calling
there,
it Arby's.
Yeah, it's weird. Just a non-drive-thru Arby's, it's just, I don't know why that rubs me.
You don't
want to
sit in any
Yeah, I mean, the other ones, there aren't that many in L.A., like, really, though.
Yeah.
So,
of course
anyway.
Not, because it's an embarrassing fast food chain restaurant.
And there's the big one with the light up cowboy hat sign on Sunset.
Yeah, there's that one.
That one's pretty exciting.
Right. People be getting stabbed out there all the time.
I mean, that's the fun of it. You look at a light up sign and then you get
you
to see
know.
A little
yeah.
adventure, a little city spice.
A little strong arm robbery with your big Montana. Right.
But it's so funny because this seems like an organization that, one, I would never want to infiltrate. Two, like, y'all had to tell us about this. Like, we all kind of made up the Illuminati and, you know, or with hopes to somehow get involved or see what's going on. But we don't want to know what the fuck y'all are doing. Y'all could televise this shit. We wouldn't watch.
Yeah. I just, you know, oh, and the other thing is, too, because
that is
it's
super
so
funny. You could just post a billboard with where the meeting is going to be and the same people would show up. Nobody wants to fuck
yeah,
you,
no,
dude.
Yeah,
nobody wants
matter.
To go there.
Wait, Miles, what were you saying?
Well, the other thing is that even though they're acting like it's this like exclusive thing, they are also pretty limited because a lot of the people that are in this club are junior level government people. So like, they don't have cash, really. So they say, quote, most events are free to attend with a cash bar. When the group organized its 45 Club Island Takeover, a weekend retreat on the privately owned St. Catherine's Island last June, members could book a room to stay overnight for a reasonable $85. So, you know, it's they're
this is the most broke-ass secret society I've ever heard
young,
of.
Young, broke, and undersexed. So.
They're like, look, guys, we going to the Poconos. Everybody got to have their money up front on Venmo. If you want chips, it's $3 extra for chips.
Right. Seriously.
You have to check your bag, and that's a $25
We got
fee.
One bottle of peppermint schnapps. Everybody gets a cap full,
also,
okay?
Wait, what do you mean you didn't bring your own cup? Get the fuck out, man. Said in the email, bring your own fucking cup.
And toilet paper, okay?
You also have garbage bags? Oh, so this is just going to magically clean itself up? I don't think so. Anyway, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
I need to thank the Zeit Gang. I don't think I've been back since the last time I came here and made some jokes about there being holes in my shoes. And the Zeit Gang bought me shoes.
Yes.
So, what?
Yeah, because the fellas were like, well, what's your Venmo? And then I was all embarrassed, like, no. And then they were like, what is it? And then I said it. And then people just started sending me money.
I mean,
Zyke gang, I have holes in my Christian Louboutins.
It wasn't.
You better stop that shit. It was not a crazy
amount of money. No, it wasn't. It didn't. It wasn't winning the lottery, but it definitely bought me some shoes and changed my month a whole lot. So all those $1, $5, the occasional higher pop than that was just so awesome. I knew this podcast had red fans. You're always so nice online, and you're always so engaged. But that was unexpected and definitely real good. So if you ever see me on the road, come up and say Zyke Gang. You'll get a hug. If I'm selling something, you'll get one for free.
Oh,
never forget it. Just come say it. I don't forget.
Zyke Gang?
Nothing yet.
Hey, girl, Zyke Gang.
Use code Zyke Gang.
Well, when I make my Jan Aykroyd t-shirt, I'll be sure to hand one over.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, come and tell me if I'm in your town and you listen to the show. I'll make sure that you have a good time. And if you can't afford a ticket, then just let me know.
Do you have any dates coming up?
I was thinking while I was talking out loud. I was like, do you? I'll be in Boise in September. I don't know what I'm doing before then.
Okay, well then where can they keep up with you on social
media? On Twitter at Robot Caitlin, on Instagram at Caitlin Is Tall, or on my website at CaitlinGoComedy.com.
Okay, cool. Is there a tweet that you've been liking that you want to share with us?
Oh my God, yeah. I follow a drag queen named Meatball, Fat Drag Meatball, my favorite drag queen in Los Angeles, possibly the world.
Really? I have not heard of Meatball.
Fucking hear
Fat Drag
of
Meatball?
Meatball. Meatball is so spectacular. Terrific performer. So much fun. Meatball queried, I wonder what my tethered used for their drag. which, the mental picture I went on from her giant KFC outfit to her clown outfit with the big puffy balls all over it to wearing nothing. I don't, you know. Yeah, that was a good one.
And Lacey, what about you? Where can people find you, follow you, aside from obviously your wonderful new podcast, Scam Goddess?
Yes.
That's on Earwolf.
Guys.
But it's all love here either way. You know, you're still Zyke Gang, you're still family with me.
Yes. I have a new podcast, guys. It's called Scam Goddess. It's like true crime, but it's fun as hell and nobody dies. So if you love true fun ass crimes, with, you know, lots of charlatans, listen to Scam Goddess on Earwolf Presents. You can search Earwolf Presents or go on my Instagram at DivaLacy. Same handle on Twitter, same handle on Venmo. Y'all know what it is. And a tweet that I am loving right now. Actually, has to do what we were talking about today, with Lori Loughlin thinking that the DA was bluffing. She thought the DA had a pair of fives, but they really had a full house.
Hey.
And that's from Whitney M02. You funny girl, Whitney McIntosh.
Let's see. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A couple tweets I like. One is actually a member of the Zyke Gang brought my attention to this, and that is at New Blake. You brought my attention to this. Tweet from at KelseyA1028, display name Woke Dad Bod, saying Kurt Cobain did not die for you to wear his t-shirt to an Imagine Dragons concert. So true, man. It'd be such a shame. And another one comes from Andrew T, at Andrew T. He was just quote tweeting an Eater LA article about the Good Luck Bar in Los Feliz because it's closing down. The headline of that article says 25-year-old Chinatown themed dive Good Luck Bar is closing in Los Feliz. And Andrew T said, quote, Chinatown themed is my new favorite media euphemism for racist. Because that motherfucker is wild in there. But a lot of people, I mean, everyone still loves the Good Luck Bar.
It's hard not to love the Good Luck Bar. It's like the uncle you still let come to Thanksgiving, even though he says some wild shit.
Yeah. It's so candy. So you can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. What else we got? We have a website, www.dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. There we go. And also where we link to the song. And today we're actually going to do a track by Abstract Orchestra, and it's Accordion. And if you know the Mad Villain album of MF Doom and Mad Lib, the track Accordion is great, but this is them doing like a full-on instrumental version with live instruments. So, you know, just groove this one out into your weekend. Well, that'll do it for us this week, and we hope you guys have a great weekend, and see you Monday. All right, later.
Living off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster. Dick Dastardly and Muttley with sick laughter. A gunfight and they come to cut the mix master. ICE Cole, nice to be old. Y2G's D twice to threefold. He sold scrolls, lo and behold. Know who's the illest ever, like the greatest story told. Keep your glory, gold, and glitter. For half of his niggas to take him out the picture. The other half is rich and it don't mean shit to. Feeling a mixture between both with a twist of liquor. Chase it with more beer. Tasting like truth for dear when he at the mic.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.